For this comic book reading, we're going to take a look at the first appearance of one of my favorite characters, which happens to be Ghost Rider. He made his first appearance in Marvel Spotlight number 5 in 1972. And it ran from issue number 5, I believe, to issue number 11.
The following program contains mature language and potential spoilers. Listeners be advised.
Welcome to Marvel Superheroes Podcast. I'm a legal machine, and with me is
Mr. Fix-It,
Diablo Frank.
And today we're ready to grab this podcast by the pussy. We're just gonna. That's how you do a good podcast. You just walk up. When you're famous podcasters like us, that's all you gotta do. You gotta just walk
grab it by the pussy. Topic,
you just grab it by the pussy.
This isn't going to date us at all.
Oh, boy. That's a good start. This is a good start. Let's go with this. I'm liking this. Let's go.
Well, all right, so you're the one with a handful of gooch, so you keep it going, buddy.
All right. Well, I guess Frank reached out to us and asked us what kind of podcast we'd want to do. I'm assuming you picked these characters because it's October, right?
Indeed.
So I made an executive decision after reading the first few pages of Marvel Spotlight number 5 from, what is this, 79?
72.
Nope, 79?
72?
72. I thought it was 72.
No. Oh, you're right, dude. 72.
Oh, suck it, Mac. You're about to get owned tonight, son.
Oh, I assumed it was 79 because it's in Marvel Unlimited. It's in the 79 to 82 tranche.
Yeah, okay, but so it's Marvel Unlimited.
I have a special story for this. Trust me. It's
okay. Anyway, so this is
about to get weird.
All right. Okay. All right. So this is the first appearance of Ghost Rider.
Is he alive or dead? A legend is born. The most supernatural superhero of all.
It's a cover of Ghost Rider riding a wheelie through a bunch of. It's like a garbage alley with a bunch of thugs shooting at him. Right.
Yeah.
He is the most supernatural superhero. Hero of all.
Yes.
So we want to just walk through a quick recap of this issue.
Well, hold on. Wait. Can I tell my story how I got to this?
No. Usually, well, I don't know. Does it pertain to spoiling the entire comic?
No.
Is this something that we should read the comic first and then talk about it afterwards?
No. It's just me trying to read this fucking issue.
All right. I guess so.
Okay. So, you know.
Hey, if your story sucks, I'm going to cut you off.
That's fine. So Fix is a little light in the pocket right now. So I couldn't afford Unlimited right now. So Frank's like, we're going to read number 5, Marvel Spotlight number 5. I started looking online. I'm a big supporter of Marvel Unlimited, but I had to find me a quick free copy, and a friend of mine had said, here, I'm gonna send you a link, you can read it here. And I'm like, all right. So I get there, it's not where you read it, someone reads the comic to you. So this guy will talk about the issue, and he has this very Bob Ross voice, so he's whispering. So as you can see on the cover, his head is flaming in a left direction, so that gives you an idea that the wind is coming from the right, and he's talking like this about the issue. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna sit through this and let's see how this plays out. And he literally reads the comic to you, and he comments on each page in each panel. As you can see, these two guys here, there's a lot of fear in their eyes. I think they're really feeling the fear. And I'm sitting there, it took an hour and 30 minutes to get through the issue, but was so entertaining to have Bob Ross-ish guy read it to me as he went. And he has a video camera, and he goes panel to panel with the video camera, so you can read along with him.
Are you making this
up? That's my story. No, dude, I swear to God, dude, I will send you the link, dude.
They have been seeing those popping up on YouTube.
I swear to God, dude, I will send you the link, dude. It was fucking awesome. And the dude's just like, he starts talking about, like, and he even stops. You know how in the mid pages they have those advertisements? He'll start talking about the advertisement. He starts reading off all these, like, there's some kind of record deal. Like you can get record, and he's like reading off the names, and then he's like, oh, here's a game. I used to play this game back in the day. It's a very good board game. Dude, I'm just sitting there like fucking fascinated with this man. He's reading me the issue, and he goes page for page. Advertisement, no matter what it is, he stops and he talks about it, does a little bit of a comment, and it moves on to the next page. And then he'll even talk about the artwork a little bit, like, oh, as you can see here, the shadowing is darker. It was fucking fantastic. I'll send you the link, dude. It was great. I could do more comics like that. And he has such a gentle voice. It's almost like he's whispering in your ear, like a Stranger Danger whisper, but not that scary.
Was it on YouTube or was it like?
I think it was on YouTube. The link just took me somewhere, and this guy but it's only old comic books, nothing new.
How do you not know where you're watching a video? What do you mean it's a link?
Well, no, because the link, I put the link on Google, and then it just took me. What's YouTube? Because it has a little YouTube symbol on the thing.
Well, yeah,
you hit play, and it took you there, huh?
Okay. Hey, man, I'm gonna check this shit out. I'm gonna subscribe to the channel, and I'm gonna let him know.
I'll set it to you.
I'm gonna let him know I heard about it on the Marvel Superheroes podcast.
He was fantastic. I enjoyed it quite a bit. So, okay, yeah, that's just as much as I just wanted to throw that stuff. No spoilers, you dick.
Yeah, I have been seeing that stuff pop up lately when I'm trying to research something, especially if it involves videos. I'll see those things pop up. I just don't have enough time to have somebody do that for me, though. It's like, and I do similar stuff like that with the DC Bloodlines podcast, where I'm kind of giving you a synopsis of the story and I'm doing funny voices and shit.
Autumn, Argus, Autumn, Ballistic, Cardinal Sin, Channelman, Chimera, Edge, Freight Train, Geist, Gunfire, Akrat, Harry Force, Hitman, Hook, Jam, Joe Public, Loria, Crack, Layla, Lionheart, Loose Cannon, Megabiter, Mongolite, Myriad, Nightblade, Output, Pass, Prism, Razor Shark, Rodney James, Samaritan, Shadow Strike, Slingshot, Smart Shot, Terror Smith.
Wow, that's a lot of radical trademark names. And you may not have heard of any of them, but they were all introduced in DC Comics' 1993 Summer Annuals. Most went on to figure into more stories within their four-color universe. Many earned their own spotlight series, and one became a cult hit from acclaimed creators. While the comics of the 1990s are often derided, for me, as a longtime comic book reader, I found a deepened fandom and a safe harbor from the Cronium Age in the DCU. I fell in love with the history and legacy found in generations of heroic mantles, and my journey into this continuity largely began with Bloodlines. Join me, Diablo Frank, as I explore the more overlooked areas of DC Comics' superheroes, beginning with an early 90s intellectual property-generating stunt and fanning outward towards other obscurities and icons, from throughout decades of sequential art stories, all flowing through the DC bloodlines.
Podcasts available on iTunes, Shout Engine, and the Internet Archive.
Oh my god, this guy's voice. Okay, you know what?
You found it?
Look, Mr. Fix-It, I'm fully on board with your story now. This is... unbelievable.
It's awesome, isn't it?
This shit is unbelievable, dude.
This dude's my fucking hero, and he reads the comic to you. He's gonna read the entire book, and he's gonna talk about the art.
It's an hour and 5 minutes long. It's like a Marvel podcast episode.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Subscribe. All right.
Really?
I'm down with
this. Dude, I'm actually gonna go back and watch some of the... Dude, he's entertaining as shit, dude. Like, he talks about it, and the cool thing about it is, you know he really loves this stuff. Like, he's not being snarky, or he's not being a dick, but does. He really likes this shit, so I'm definitely gonna check it out more.
So it's the opposite of the Marvel Superheroes podcast.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay.
He's a Yang.
Why did you just leave that hanging when you just said it's a Yang? He's a Yang?
I was waiting for you to finish it off, but I guess we weren't on page on that one. That bit didn't work out too well.
Welcome to the Marvel Superheroes podcast. I'm a legal machine, and with me is...
We're doing this again?
Yeah, I think we should just start this shit over.
We've gone off the rails that quickly, huh? I think you should take back over, Mac. You have the conch.
So this issue basically starts with your... So what perspective is this for? Is it third person, kind of? Or is it like fourth person?
I think that's second person.
You think it's second person?
Yeah, because it's telling you are now the Ghost Rider. Well, hold on. Rain, engulfing the city in a damp blanket of gloom. Rain, pounding down on the skull that once was the head of a normal man. Rain, combining with the black loneliness of night to beat a mournful cadence with cries. You are now the Ghost Rider. My understanding is that whenever it's somebody telling you who you are, that's second person, from my understanding.
No, it doesn't sound like second person.
No, because it's
somebody telling me who someone else is, but referring to me.
It's another person talking to you about you.
But I'm not Ghost Rider. I'm the reader.
But you're supposed to be living vicariously through the Ghost Rider.
Well, that's your opinion.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Well, if it's you are the Ghost Rider, it's telling you right there in the caption box.
No, this is it. So Ghost Rider is reading this comic book, is what you're saying?
No, somebody is an omniscient narrator talking to the Ghost Rider about the Ghost Rider.
This is at least sixth person.
I don't think that's the thing. I think if it were a Grant Morrison comic, maybe. But no, I think you're going on a limb here.
This issue was edited by Stan Lee, conceived and written by Gary... Is it Friedrich?
Frederick, something like that. Yeah,
Frederick.
I got it. Yeah.
Yeah, go.
No, that's good. Keep going.
Drawn by Mike Klug.
Aided and abetted by Roy Thomas. And I think he gets that credit because Friedrich came up to him with the idea of wanting to do a book about a cyclist and use the name Ghost Rider. And he was going to use him as a Daredevil villain, from what I understand. And Roy had already come up with a shitty Daredevil villain called the Stunt Master that was somewhat similar. But with the name and the elements that Friedrich brought into him, he's like, no, you've gotten something wrong here. This concept isn't a villain. This is a book on its own. You need to develop this as its own series. There's some argument about who did what. My understanding is that Roy Thomas has said that he came up with the skull head. Mike Plug has either come up with the skull head or came up with the flaming aspect. And Thomas has said that his outfit is modeled after Elvis in the 1968 special. special. But of course, there was a whole legal issue because Friedrich was trying to say, no, I created the character, this is my character, and I never gave away the rights to it in a legal fashion, so I want him back. And Marvel and him went back and forth for a number of years. In one instance, he lost the lawsuit and owed Marvel $17,000 and was legally prohibited from selling any merchandise related to Ghost Rider. But more recently, they finally settled that, and everybody seems to be good now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember this one being nasty.
Yeah, like, this was one of the worst of those. I mean, well, they're all bad. I mean, obviously, the Siegel and Schuster families had a really nasty issue with DC for the longest time, too.
So basically, this issue starts off with Ghost Rider. He's just riding through an alleyway, right? Just sort of chilling. It's raining, you know, it's a very dark, gloomy night. And he sort of rides by an armed robbery or a mugging. The two muggers realize that a guy on a motorcycle just drove by and saw them commit this crime, and he's the only witness. So they're like, we got to go chase this guy down.
By the way, I want to point out, though, what they make point of saying, Ghost Rider himself does not give a shit that this is happening. He's not out for justice. He's just trying to drive off and not be bothered, and these guys come after him.
Yeah, it says, and yet your tormented brain chooses not to see it, so you ride on. Again, sixth person. I'm reading. Hold on. So basically, they're just chasing him down. They make some weird comment about how his head's glowing. He tries to ditch him through another alleyway. They follow him through the alleyway. He hits a dead end. Even though there's a sign that says dead end beware, what the hell was he thinking driving down there? Maybe for the irony? I don't know. He pulls like a little skids to a stop, and he's like, look, well, since I can't ditch these guys, I'll just see if I can just scare the shit out of him and make him leave. So they come down the alleyway. He does a few like parlor trick, basically. Oh, at first he declares himself as the servant of Satan, screams at him, and they're like, what the hell is that? So then he points to the ground and sets the ground on fire. Then they're talking about how he's playing games with us, drill him. So they start trying to did they ever actually shoot at him? No, they never actually shoot at him. So then he rides this super dope wheelie.
I love how there happens to be a sawhorse with a board up against it, just in the right place, just by happenstance.
And they set that up like so many panels earlier. The board with the like, I wish they would. There had to have been a panel where he ran over and set that up, right? It's like, I gotta build this dope ramp before these guys come down the alley.
I just like seeing him in his leathers kind of squatting down, getting the board together and stuff.
And it slides off. He has to run back real quick and set it back up again because he's kind of clumsy because his head's on fire. Anyway, so he jumps in and it scares the crap out of him. That's sort of where it ends, right? Because then he ducks into another alley and then he turns back into Johnny Blaze.
Mm-hmm. In a four panel transition, silent. Looks kind of cool.
Yeah, except his normal face looks more horrifying than
right? He's all like, he looks like he has some sort of disorder.
No, the artist was Roy Thomas, right?
No, Mike Pluke.
Who was the artist?
Mike Pluke,
okay. Because I thought the art style seemed very familiar.
Yeah, Pluke was actually a big deal back in the 70s. You know how you'll have these guys that are like huge in their decade, and then they kind of fall off during the decade, and nobody's about them after a while? I think his big thing was Man-Thing, and so he was having to work in direct competition to Bernie Wrightson, and so he really packed in the detail on that book, and that was sort of his main title. Plus, he'd done, prior to this, The Monster of Frankenstein, which looked great. This one, I think, was actually a rush job, because it's nice looking, it's interesting, but it's not up to his standards.
Okay. I was just kind of curious. I did like the art style, though.
Yeah, and he only did like a couple or three issues, and he was gone.
Oh, okay.
So now we go back to Johnny Blaze in his apartment, and he's basically struggling with, will I ever be free, or am I doomed to this dual life, man by day and monster by night? And then he's saying, you know, I got to get my brain off of this. Maybe if I go to work, it'll help me get my mind off of it. And they show him walking in a trench coat to Madison Square Garden, and there's a sign on front that says, Madison Square Garden presents the amazing Johnny Blaze and his cycle spectacular, starring Roxanne Simpson and the world's greatest cycle daredevils. So from there, he's in his dressing room and he's sort of reflecting on his origin.
So John's all in repose on one of those like psychiatrist chairs, and he's like, oh, woe is me, all the horrible things. And he flashes back to his early days when his dad, Barton Blaze, died as part of this traveling cycle show. And so the guy who runs the show, Crash Sampson, Crash Simpson. Yeah. So he's like, your father was a brave man, Johnny, and we're sorry he was killed. And since you don't have a mother, something's going to have to be done with you. If you like, you can stay with us and we'll raise you like a son, or you can go to an orphanage. I love how he's just real blunt about it. It's like, you ain't got a mother, you ain't got a dad, you can stay with us, we're gonna pack you off.
So. It's a little more obvious than in my right hand is the blue pill and the left hand is the red pill. But it's more like, in the right hand is the blue pill and the left hand is a pile of shit. Which one will you choose?
Well, and I think there's a strong implication too that if you stick around, you're going to be part of our Daredevil show. So I don't care if your daddy bought it that way, you're going to have to suck it up and be part of this. And that's exactly what he does. Simpson's running around with his wife and daughter on his bike, doing all kinds of flashy shows, dressed up in patriotic colors. Johnny Blaze is learning how to work on bikes. He's learning how to do the tricks. He obviously has a more than brother-sister relationship budding with the daughter Roxanne. And then one day they're riding around on the cycle and it suddenly bursts into flames. So Johnny's like, jump, Rocky, jump. And so she does jump, and the mom is like, you got to get off, it's going to explode. And he's like, I can't, I have to get away from the circus his tent. So he gets away and he smashes into a tree, and Mom Simpson's like running up trying to make sure he's not hurt, and he's like, no, stay back, it's gonna explode. And it explodes and it all but kills her. She's in her hospital bed, she's dying, and she whispers, Johnny, promise me you'll never ride in the show. Promise me, please. Because let's be honest, we don't know what happened to this dude's mother. We know his dad died this way. We're seeing...
Well, she was like a mother to him, yeah. They kind of emphasize that she was like a mother.
Yeah. Well,
there's a scene where he calls her mom and she kind of, oh.
He finally gets to call her mother right there on the deathbed, and she's already died before he actually gets the words out. I imagine, you know, she's dying from this shit. We don't know how many generations of people have died from this shit. Maybe she wants to put an end to the damn thing already. And so she makes Johnny make this promise. Johnny keeps his word. He doesn't have anything to do with the show. What's this fucker's name again?
Crash Simpson.
Crash Simpson. I keep wanting to call him Brock Sampson. Crash Simpson is just a total fucking dick about it. 5 years since my wife died and you haven't ridden since. I'm starting to think you're yellow. And what's worse, even the daughter's like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah, Roxy. You know,
yeah, she's a totally fucking enabling her dad's bullying bullshit. But they keep the show going. And then at one point, Johnny finally realizes, hey, I can still do tricks. I just can't do them in the show. So he goes off and he starts practicing and he gets really good at it. And in fact, he's one of the best anybody's ever seen. But the only one who has to see it is Roxy. And so she's the one who determines that he made that promise to her mom, which I don't know why the fuck that was a secret. Why didn't they both know that shit and then lay the fuck off the dude? I don't know. Did he feel the need to keep it as a secret or something? But anyway, she finally silently decides, you know, what I've suspected for a long time. I love you. So she loves him, but he's still not in the show. But at least she realizes that he's capable and he's willing. He's just honoring her mom. And so she fucking finally lays off. So they keep touring this extravaganza.
Wait.
What? Okay.
Are we not going to address that he starts making out with his adopted sister?
I didn't snap to that.
I wasn't picking up on it. I didn't pick up on any romance. I was just like, oh, they're just brother and sister. And they're playing around, and then when they start making out, I was like, "What the hell just happened?" Because there were no hints of any sort of romance before that. That was not shocking to anyone else.
Here's the problem is I come into this with some baggage. I've read Ghost Rider comics in the past, so I kind of already knew about the relationship. So I didn't really think about it in those terms.
Well, let me tell you something. For someone who hasn't read a lot of Ghost Rider comic books, my fucking jaw hit the floor when this dude made out with his adopted sister, brother.
There's not a single outfit this girl wears where it's not just all hanging out.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's form-fitting or low-cut or what have you, so there's no mixed messages here. She's hot for brother.
Oh man.
Like that one, okay, on page 12, that one panel where they almost look like they're fucking in front of their dad fully clothed. It's like a zipperless fuck going on here.
There's no way he knows. Freaking Crash is completely oblivious to this.
I don't know, man. He might be cool with it. He's kind of, he strikes me as the kind of guy who would tell Howard Stern that it's okay to call his daughter a piece of ass.
No, I disagree. I think that Crash is too busy practicing his motorcycle stunting and has no clue what's going on with the rest of his family.
It could very well be the case.
He's all about that stunt life.
So his entire career, 30 years is what he says, even though in a later comic book, 15 years earlier, he'd been a cop. But I guess he was a motorcycle cop. So by his statement, 30 years, he's been working to make it to Madison Square Garden with his cycle show. But he has the disease, and he's only got 1 month to go, so he's going to be dead before he makes it to Madison Square Garden. And so everything he's worked for his entire life is an absolute ruin because of this. And he's a real little bitch about it, too.
Yep. I risk my life every day for 30 years. And then when I finally reach my goal, the doc tells me I may not live to see it. Daddy, what are you saying? What do you mean by that? That's it, baby. Doc Warren gives me a month at the most. Very, very excited about this.
It's just hard for me.
I want to know, what is the disease?
They never fucking say.
It's got to either be, you think it's AIDS?
No. This is 72, dude.
Oh, 72. I was thinking 79 still. So
the worst thing you could catch was herpes back then, which he definitely has.
He already had that.
With that fucking mustache and shit, man, I don't want to know what kind of shit's growing in that gigantic handlebar mustache of it.
You think he got the...
That's where he got the disease from, handlebar rides.
You think he definitely got the nickname Crash from nothing having to do with motorcycling?
He's like Michael Douglas. I got the throat cancer from the cunnilingus.
From the cunnilinguses.
You know, that's how you get it, you know. Ay, ay, ay.
It's no mistake. I've got the disease, and it's going to get me.
I'm going with prostate cancer. Just throwing that out there.
You think it's cancer?
Yeah, it's the disease. In 1972, that was the disease. It's still pretty much it's still the disease today. I mean, you brought up AIDS. We've slapped AIDS around. It's not, you know, it's still not good, but it's not nearly as bad as it used to be. But we haven't really gotten shit done with cancer yet. I mean, we're still fucking poisoning people with radiation because it's the best thing we got. Cancer is still the disease.
Hey, edit all this. this super Debbie Downer shit out.
I'm about to say, yeah.
Everything after me suggesting AIDS.
No, we got to keep the throat cancer.
Yeah, okay, we can keep on it. We're not going to talk about anything besides that. Okay, so then he says, no way, you can't, even if I wanted to. Because they're basically saying, Johnny, why don't you take over? And he's like, no way, even if I wanted to. And then freaking Roxanne, even though she watched this motherfucker, and he told her why he hasn't been writing, she says, then it's true. You must be. You're a coward. She straight up calls him. This is a page, two pages later after they were just making out. He's just said, I promised your mother on her deathbed. And this, she straight up calls him a coward 2 pages later. Not a huge fan of this Roxanne woman.
Well, and it is funny, too, that regardless of the emotional trauma, he's still totally watching her leave and enjoying that.
Yeah. And she says, go ahead and keep your promise, but it'll cost you my love forever. Hello? This family is so jacked up, dude. That promise was to your mom.
Maybe the disease is like extreme bipolar disorder, because the emotional lability of these people is off the fucking scale.
So I just got to go through these three panels. She says, go ahead, keep your promise, but it'll cost you my love forever. And then Crash says, so you're going to let me down even in the end. Get out of here, boy. Please, just go. And then the next panel, this isn't even a page. The next panel says, but you cannot go. Not when they need you. Still, there was no one you could turn to. No one except, and then it's Johnny Blaze exclaiming, Satan!
Satan!
And he says, yes, this is the only way. And even though I'm afraid, and then it does an ellipses, and it says, since childhood, you'd read of him and then the miracles he could perform. Now you are ready to face him. And he says, oh, appear, oh, Prince of Darkness. Your humble servant beckons. This is literally, you would normally save that for a page turn, at least.
At least.
This is on the same page.
Let's not forget the part where he's got a pentagram painted to his chest as well.
On the burning goats. Yeah, he's got a burning goat skull with a pentagram on his chest on the same page. This is unbelievable.
It's definitely a neck break change of pace.
I'm telling you, dude, from page 11 to page 13, this fucking comic book goes off the rails. He goes to kissing his adopted sister, to Crash has AIDS, and then fucking he's worshiping Satan with a pentagram on his chest and a flaming goat skull, dude. Like, I can't even handle this shit. This is when I texted you, we are talking about this comic book. You were like, I'll take any suggestion you guys want to take. There is no more suggestion. We're talking about Marvel.
It's
we're
imperative.
About Marvel Spotlight number fucking 5. Holy shit. Anyway, so then we have the page turn, and he's kneeling in a pentagram with the flaming goat skull. And it says, through time eternal, through endless space, I beg thee, journey to this place. Which rhymes, which I thought was nice.
Dope rhymes there.
It was a dope rhyme. But it looks like the pentagram is in blood, right? Because it's bleeding down his chest on page 14.
In all of these Gary Friedrich stories, because he has like a whole Satan over it that we'll have to get to, it's always like a thick red pentagram, and it's always filled in, so it looks like a sheriff's star for some reason.
So anyway, he says, he's talking to Satan. He's bargaining with Satan. He's like, I ask only that Crash Simpson be spared from his deadly disease, which is killing him. And then Satan reaches out with his weird phantom hand and says, it is done, but be warned, one day soon I will return to collect my fee. As quickly as it began, it ended.
I love that Mike Ploog has taken the Satan, and he's converted Kirby Crackle into Crotch Crackle, because he's got like his whole goat lower half with all these black, you know, blobs, but they're kind of like rectangular, and you just know that that's like he's woolly, and it's gross and it's creepy, and it totally sells the demonic nature. I like, too, they never show you his face. It's always in darkness with the impression of horns.
Yeah. That is definitely a very cool shot of Satan, but his Kirby bubbles are terrible throughout this whole thing. And in that like second page, when he shoots like that finger of fire at those guys, he has a weird Kirby bubble on that too, and it's just not, it doesn't, it looks like a leopard print, like he shot a leopard print at them or something. It's very bizarre.
They're a little bit more Ditko Dot.
Ditko Dot. Okay, so where do we go from there? Frankosaurus.
You took it back over for like a page and a half.
Yeah, but that was a freaking hardcore couple pages. Look, man, I'm getting over something too. You're not the only one who's been sick, all right? Jesus.
Then as quickly as it began, it has ended. The room cools and the sickening stench of death fades from your nostril. The sacred candle burns once more, and you know that he is gone. The bargain has been sealed. You know only one end, and yet you feel strangely relieved, as if a great weight has been lifted from your shoulders. Crash will live, and perhaps Roxanne will love you again, if the master gives you time. If, 3 weeks later at Madison Square Garden, they're preparing for the show, and because Crash still thinks that he's going to die, he's decided he's going to jump 22 cars for a world record, under the assumption that if he dies, well, he's going to die anyway, so fuck it, let's go with this.
Hey, wait, let me take back over. He says, this way, when people remember me, they'll remember I died with my leathers on.
Oh, yeah.
That was like the funniest line in this book, dude. I couldn't stop laughing at that garbage. Who's going to remember you dying with your leathers on? What does that mean?
Maybe that was a 70s term.
I guess so.
Well, and not only that, he's wearing Yodfers too. What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't even know what Yodfers are, but I know what you're talking about with the flared pant thing.
Yeah, the German aerial pant.
These are knickers. Are those knickers?
I don't know. Those aren't knickers. Knickers are what women wore in the 1800s under their dresses.
I said knickers. It's a type okay. of, it's pants. Knickers are pants.
No, knickers are the fucking pantaloon thingies that you wear under a dress.
No.
Yeah.
That's like when this guy wakes up in the morning, he's like, where are my knickers?
He's totally not like, where is my knickers? If he is, yeah. then he's going to a different club to wear those leathers. No.
He definitely wants to know where his knickers are in the morning.
All I know is I think that the disease, those aren't Jodhpurs. He's just got growths coming out of his back end there. Whatever he's been doing, it's had an impact on him physiologically.
I think it's dope that he's totally going to jump 22 cars. I don't know why I loved all this. Dude, I love this comic book. Anyway, so this dude's going to straight up jump 22 cars. He don't give a fuck. I don't understand what... I mean, I guess he couldn't tell him I made a pact with Satan, right?
It's not the sort of thing you just openly share with people.
Yeah. I was trying to think of a way that this could have been avoided, but I just don't think there is. I think if Crash wants to go out this way and he wants to die in his knickers, in his leathers, and that's how he wants to be remembered, there's nothing that Johnny's going to say to stop him because he thinks Johnny's a coward anyway.
Well, that, I don't think there's... It's a situation, too, where he's like, dude, why don't you get checked one more time? Maybe it isn't as fatal as you think. It's like, no, it's totally fucking fatal. My doctor's been doing this for months now, and I'm dying, and I'm not going back again. That's something I could actually buy.
So here's another. So anyway, Crash like rides by on his motorcycle and he gets a thumbs up, and that's some sort of way to like show Johnny that he's forgiven or whatever,
or that he does still care.
Right. So then he takes this jump, dude. And if I count correct on this next page, he clears exactly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fucking cars. He cleared 5 of the 22 cars and crashed and exploded into it.
No, he's still pretty high up in the air. I think he did a little bit better than you're giving him credit for.
No way,
I think that's
dude.
Just a matter of perspective.
No, in fact, you know what? 1, 3. Yeah, no, it's 5 cars. Look at the color of the car he crashed. Yeah,
those
into,
are some
dude.
Nice fucking cars, too. How they managed to afford cars that nice to get jumped by a motorcycle?
Yeah, a bunch of old Mercedeses. Oh, man, that was freaking amazing, though. But he definitely straight up only went 5 cars and crashed and died, which he should have just let the disease take him because that's all what he's going to be remembered for now is that he tried to.
He's the asshole. He cleared 5 whole cars.
He came up 15 cars to short. Oh my god, dude. Which also goes to show you that I don't think Johnny's such a good mechanic, because the first bike he worked on burst into flames and killed his mother, and the second bike he probably worked on didn't even make it over 5 cars and crashed and exploded into a ball of flame.
I do think there's a lot of crash motorcycles over the course of this series. You may be onto something.
Yeah. Let me take this sip of this water here.
At any point, do you want to compare this to the movie?
No, absolutely not.
Well, especially because if you're talking, we're going to lose you in like 5 seconds anyway, so we've kind of, you know, given up on that.
Yeah, well, anything you,
no, you have not lost me.
Anything you want to do, we're not going to include you in because we're not going to be able to hear you.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew it, but you were gone for like 2 or 3 minutes there just now.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, someone keeps calling.
Ah, here we go again.
We lost you again, dude. Here's what you need to do. First of all, are you listening? Are you listening? Okay, fucking living room. Your internet connection's better. Jesus Christ. Are you on your wireless right
now? No, dude, I'm charging my phone while we do this.
Shit. Well, I'm just telling you right now, ever since you went into your bedroom, because your camera's on, I've watched you walk all around your house.
That's fucking creepy.
I watched you take your headphones off. You walked away for a while when Frank was asking you questions. I watched you walk back to it. I saw you lay down in bed. You look really cozy, by the way. That's
very relaxed.
You're very relaxed right now. But you need to fucking get up out of your goddamn bedroom and go to somewhere in your house where you have better reception. Please, Jesus. If I could sign a pact with Satan right now. The only request would be that you fucking go to a different room in your house. Please. Please, Dark Lord. Please.
Oh, God.
And we lost him again.
Point proven.
Okay, so we lost you again there, Mr. So Johnny goes, all right, fuck this shit. Not only am I going to be responsible for the death of my my adopted father because I did not maintain a bike properly that he could make it more than 5 cars, I'm going to then
a favorable contract with Satan.
Right, 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 right. Why did you have to put all those qualifiers in when you were freaking telling Satan what you wanted? Then I'm going to do the jump and complete it and make you completely forget Crash Simpson ever existed. You can't even let him die in fucking peace. He just wanted to go out and have the headline the next day showing that Crash Simpson freaking died in a ball of fire. Instead, the headline is Johnny Blaze jumps 22 cars on a suspiciously working motorcycle.
And not to mention over that red spot where Crash landed initially.
Yeah, so. That's not what he did.
They're
he
like hosing the shit down still, you know?
What he really jumped was 22 cars, 1 motorcycle, and 1 dead burning body. That's what he actually jumped. In Guinness, that's what it's going to lift.
He'll have a little asterisk to find details.
So anyway, that was backfire number one. Backfire number two is that when he lands, she's like, how could you do that after dad died?
Yeah.
It's just so amazing.
And this time we're totally on her side.
Yeah, anyway, so then she walks away. So he's just like, damn, now I'm all alone. But he does have a record for most cars jumped. So that's it. That is a plus. So at that point, Satan shows back up and he says, you double cross. I like how he talks to Satan like he's a used car salesman. You double cross me, then appear again. You got a lot of gall, devil. Well, he is the devil, Johnny. Jesus.
What happened to the integrity of the Infernal? I want to know.
No shit, dude. Unbelievable.
Because, you know, these packs with Satan always work out so well.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know. This is the one time I strike a bargain with Satan, I get screwed over. So then this weird thing's happened. I'm not really sure what's going on here. So then he says, silence, weakling. I kept my bargain. The mortal do not die of a disease. Now I claim my reward, your very soul. And he's like, I don't know what that panel is. I guess that's Satan's eyes, or are they butterfly wings or something?
They look like eggs.
Like what?
Like eggs. Like the devil's devils or something.
So then he says, from this day forth, you will walk the earth as my emissary in the dark hours, and in the light, you will join me in Hades. And he says, no, no. And he holds his head. So then this is where I freaking understand. So then Roxanne comes in and says, Johnny, I wanted to. No, no. And she's, I suspected it, but I didn't want to believe it. And then she says, back, O foul denizen of the depths, as to the, this is freaking so ridiculous, as the wait, hold on, you read this, I can't freaking read this sentence for some
back
reason.
O foul denizen of the depths, as the cross is to a vampire, so is the presence of one pure in heart to you. Disappear, I command you, or the forces of good will within me will destroy you. I depart, says, cursed woman, but I shall return to claim what is owed me.
So did, like, because I don't get what happened here. Is it because she interrupted the,
well, no, she explains it now. Though you never realized it, I read your books on Satan when you weren't around, and when I entered the room, well, I knew exactly what to do. So basically, the purity of her spirit and her love for Johnny was enough to ward off the darkness, as though she were like garlic or a cross or something. So what I'm loving here, though, is that Johnny whiled away his days in a circus tent with books on Satanism, and he so fervently believed that he's referring to this guy as the master over and over again, and he thinks he's going to get a square deal from Satan. And then Roxy's coming up and reading the same books, and so that way she knows how to be a ward. What? How the fuck is he even doing this shit? How does this happen? Was there like somebody in the circus that was a Satanist too and is like giving him the books? How did we get to this place?
Well, I know, but my other thing was that if she interrupted the spell that Satan was putting on him, how is he still going? That's what I'm saying. So is that why? I mean, okay, so we can just finish off the rest of this and we can talk about this crap. So basically, he just is about to go out and ride a freaking motorcycle and his head bursts into flames. He's like, oh shit, fucking ghost ride. That's basically the end of it, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Well, and the setup of the initial stories is that he turns into Ghost Rider every night.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's so still Johnny Blaze. He still has the conscience of Johnny Blaze, but he spends all his time trying to avoid people so they don't connect Ghost Rider to Johnny Blaze.
Like, what I don't get is, like, so he doesn't do Satan's bidding?
No.
And is that because she interrupted in the middle of the whatever he was doing to Johnny Blaze?
Yeah, something they play with later on in the series is that so long as she loves Johnny, he is protected by her love, and therefore he doesn't lose any more of his soul, and he has access to Satan's powers to try to combat Satan's efforts to clinch the deal.
Got it. Okay, so that squares me off then with the rest of this, because I was like, what the hell? Did she interrupt it and he's not Ghost, and he didn't get the curse, but he did get the curse because the head still burst into flames, but he doesn't do Satan's bidding, so what the hell's happening?
Ghost,
so he's sort of in this purgatory limbo zone, right?
Yeah, Ghostus Interruptus.
Okay. Hey, what did you guys think about this issue that I thought was fucking amazing?
I enjoyed it.
You want to elaborate a little bit?
Biting commentary there, Mr. Fix-It. So have you read a lot of Ghost Rider comic books, or have you read any Dan Hatch, Johnny Blaze?
That's a very good question. I did read that when they reintroduced them in the 90s.
The Dan Ketch stuff?
I watched the movies, read some of the more current stuff, the Jason Aaron run with Ghost Rider, where they were showing future Ghost Rider, and they're all different.
Well, there's multiple Ghost Riders, different era Ghost Riders, but like I said, if this was an inkling of how the Ghost Rider was written in the 70s, I would definitely read this stuff more often.
Well, they actually did like the original Ghost Rider series back in the 90s, reprints of these books.
Yeah, that's when he like fought the X-Men, didn't he?
I don't know. You got me there.
No. How about you, Mac? What Ghost Rider have you read?
I haven't really read anything. I mean, I think I read some of that 90s series because, you know, the tech series stuff looked so awesome. I don't remember any of it. I just remember Ghost Rider looked freaking awesome. And I still think that's still the best version of Ghost Rider. Not the Johnny Blaze stuff. No offense to Johnny Blaze. But that Dan Ketch stuff with that awesome motorcycle that I think still looks freaking amazing today with the flaming wheels and everything and the chains and everything like that. To me, that's still peak Ghost Rider. But other than that, I haven't read any of this stuff. I haven't seen any of the movies. I don't care to. but I really enjoyed this issue. Except I'm not really, I don't know if I really care about his relationship with Roxanne. Like, you know what? I'm not sure if I care about that. But I like this issue on its own. But I don't know if it drives me to want to read more about Johnny Blaze or anything. What about you, Mr. Fix-It? I mean, what about you, other guy on the podcast whose name is Frank Diablo? Yeah. Frank?
Actually, I had a fair amount of exposure to Ghost Rider in the, you know, late 70s, early 80s. For some reason, those comics would find their way to me. I've read a handful of those issues, and some of the early ones I got to read when they were doing the reprints in the 90s. Everybody loves the visual. Ghost Rider looks so cool. I mean, he's a flaming skull in black leather on a motorcycle. That's an all-win situation. But the actual series is kind of terrible. I mean, the adventures are extremely rote. They repeat themselves over and over again. He fights terrible villains, and he spends too much time fighting like regular cops and regular bikers. So he's like totally outclassing them. There's no threat there, really. And then, of course, they start the series with him fighting freaking Satan himself. So it's kind of hard to downgrade from there. And instead, though, he spends a bunch of time fighting like Daredevil villains. He fights Stuntmaster, who keeps popping up, and he looks terrible. But because he's a bike-themed villain, they keep using him. Deathstalker, the Gladiator, the Eel. Just awful villains. And then he gets Pacepot Pete at one point, and he even steals from Daredevil's supporting cast. Karen Page quit working at the law offices for a while and tried to become an actress, and he was a stuntman in the movies at that point in time, and so they had a near romance as well.
Really?
Karen Page? So he just keeps borrowing from specifically Daredevil's. It's like Daredevil didn't have a deep bench back in the 70s, so the fact that he's loaning all these guys out is kind of sad. But then when Ghost Rider would try to create villains, he'd do guys like the Water Wizard and Manticore and Malice. I think the only two that come to mind initially from the first few years of the book that I liked were the Orb, who was this dude who wore this giant helmet that looked like a big eyeball, and he mesmerized people. Him I liked, and he was actually the Enforcer, who I know best as a guy who got killed by the Scourge early on. He got started in a Ghost Rider book. But you had this weird range where the Ghost Rider would be fighting Satan in one issue, and you might appreciate this, Mac. I think it was issue 8 or 9, because they totally fucked you over. They put the Hulk on the cover. It's Ghost Rider versus the Hulk, and then the book was late, so the entire interiors are reprinted of the issue we just talked about. No Hulk whatsoever, except the blurb at the very end saying Hulk's in the next issue. And so he fights the Hulk and he wins. And the way he beats the Hulk is he creates so much fire around the Hulk that it sucks up all the oxygen and knocks the Hulk out through deprivation.
I think I remember that comic. That kind of sounds familiar.
Yeah. But most of the adventures are just boring. It's just him riding around on a motorcycle fighting lame-os. Then the very next issue, he ends up going up against some bikers that are supposed to be like the Hell's Angels. They do everything but actually call them the Hell's Angels. I think they're actually called Satan's Servants. And there's a leader of the group who's this curly redheaded guy who seems to have some sort of mesmerism powers, and he is trying to kill Ghost Rider initially, but eventually changes up and tries to kill Roxy. And the reason why he's doing this is because it's actually Crash Simpson who's possessing the body of this redheaded guy, and he has to kill his daughter to sever her connection to Ghost Rider so that he can get out of hell. So that shows what a terrible dad this guy was. Apparently he was reading the same Satanism books as Johnny was as a kid, so God only knows what kind of weird fucked up shit was going on in that childhood. Eventually, it's like 3 issues and 10 pages into the...
Wait. Was there a "I learned it from watching you, Dad" moment?
There ought to have been. But no, for some reason, they never actually connect both these men, their knowledge in Satanism. There's no connection made between the two of them. And as far as I can tell, they never played with that. So 10 pages into the third chapter of this story, everybody's in hell, and Ghost Rider manages to convince Crash to not be evil anymore, even though there's a whole sequence where he strips his daughter down into a metal bikini like Red Sonja's and paints where he's going to stab her with a giant knife, and he himself is half naked. It's just all kinds of weird shit going on there. And then Crash ends up dying in hell, and then they drop that. And then for the next 10 pages of that issue, Johnny's like, "Oh, wait, that's right. I'm going to go jump that ravine in Arizona." And the next 10 pages is him dealing with Native Americans and shit.
And
what? And then they do that for like another 3 or 4 issues. And it involves like there's this guy called Snake Dancer. And apparently they don't want Johnny to jump the ravine because they're trying to get the land back from the government. And they figure if Johnny jumps it, then it'll be too famous and the government will never give their land back. So they're trying to do Johnny in to stop him from jumping. And the motivation for Johnny to jump is he's gonna. So even though they tell him why they don't want him to jump it, he's still gonna fucking do it. Johnny is a fucking awful person. And then that leads into a whole thing where they introduce the son of Satan, and it's just this great big mess of Native Americans and Satanism and sacrifices, and it just completely goes off rails in a bad way. So I'm glad the creator, Gary Friedrich, he left the book in order to start up Son of Satan, and it helped for him to be gone because the book was a fucking mess the whole time he was doing it. I like the idea of Ghost Rider. I like the visual. I can enjoy select issues of the series, but the book was so consistently bad. I mean, just to give you an idea, for the first 2 years, they had different writers and artists on seemingly every issue, and most of them were like really bad. He always got like the lowest rung artists, like Don Heck, George Tuska, I'm trying to think, Frank Robbins, all the guys, the old guys guys from the 70s that just scrounged for assignments. So people were really happy when Don Perlin came on. It's like, yay, Don Perlin. And he did the book for a long time. And they were just happy to have that level of consistency of art, that Don Perlin standard. So I'm with you guys. When the 90s series started with the Javier Solteri's layouts, the Mark Texiera finishes, the fact that they have a real lore, because like the stuff that we associate so closely with Ghost Rider, like the flaming chain, that wasn't there in the entire first series. He just runs around and blasts stuff with Hellfire all the damn time. The penance stare, you know, where he brings up people's worst nightmares by staring at the eyes, that was totally a 90s invention.
Awesome.
The improved costume, the improved bike, the improved lore, you know, because he just, I've scanned through the first like 25, 30 issues of the Ghost Rider series, and he was in about 6 issues of Marvel Spotlight, and the whole time he's still Johnny Blaze while he's Ghost Rider, and at some point he does a Hulk thing where he turns into Ghost Rider whenever he's in danger or gets mad, and they set up fairly early on too that he can't die, so that takes away a lot of the stakes, and so he's just like just riding around on his motorcycle all the time. He doesn't really seem to have a purpose for being, and he doesn't have a lot of the iconography that you associate with him. So I would say that, like you said, peak Ghost Rider was the 90s series. That was probably the best Ghost Rider was going to be.
And honestly, I'd argue it's peak Johnny Blaze in the 90s too, because I remember, so you had Dan Ketch, and he was, you know, that was a fairly popular book, right?
Yeah.
And then when they brought back Johnny Blaze, I was like, who the fuck is Johnny Blaze? And then I was flipping the issue and I was like, wait, he's the original Ghost Rider? Holy shit, this is crazy. And he's got a double barrel shotgun that shoots Hellfire. Mm-hmm. Like, this is freaking awesome. So I thought that was kind of cool. You had this old throwback, Johnny Blaze shows up and he's this badass in a trench coat.
Yeah.
But he's not Ghost Rider, but he used to be Ghost Rider. So I thought all that shit was freaking cool.
It was a lot better than Johnny Blaze being whiny bitch from the 70s. Like a lot of the Marvel tragic heroes were, and you get tired of him being like, oh, woe is me all the damn time.
Yeah. Yeah. For real. Hey, I just wanted to say one more thing. So I've been clicking through this, you know, that YouTube channel that Mr. Fixit talked about earlier, where the guy reads you the comic book, and it was suggesting one of his other videos to me, and it says ASMR Matt. How, and it says ASMR is autonomous sensory meridian response. And then he talks about how interest rates affect our society, and it's an hour and 34 minutes long. And this guy gets into some weird shit. So I am not going to subscribe to his channel, and I am unsubscribing and close. And I'm going to forget that I ever saw that. Thank you. Apparently reading comic books is only one of his many talents.
Yeah.
Super weird shit, dude. Okay. Sorry.
It was kind of an interesting channel, but then he started talking about all his Marxist bullshit. One star.
One star. Swag flu. Fuck you, swag flu.
Okay, I guess we're good.
All right, that's a pretty good episode.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're cool.
Oh, wait, so bad, guys. I'll try to get a better connection next time.
No worries. I'm not a huge fan of the remote shows, but we haven't done a Marvel Superheroes in a while. I really wanted to do something more Halloween-themed, too. So this is just a cool little quickie we could knock out.
Cool.
So I think, are we all agreed if we're going to read more Ghost Rider, let's read some of that 90s stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. We're not reading any more of the 70s shit. Because, I like this issue, too. This was a pretty good issue. But I've read ahead, you guys, and I've scanned ahead, and it's fucking bad.
Oh, it gets worse.
Oh, it immediately gets worse. It's all downhill from this first issue. So,
that sucks.
Yeah, because again, the artist that's kind of interesting here, he's gone after a couple of 3 stories, and then you're getting Frank Robbins and shit. So no, you know, we've already tasted the best stuff. The only thing I might suggest is that there was a Jim Starlin issue around number 30 where you can't even hardly tell that it's his art because Steve Lealoha's doing the finished art, and he does this really cool kind of techniques, like 70s style techniques. So it kind of looks a little like Frank Frazetta. Bruner, even though he's not involved. And the whole story is, if I remember correctly, because I haven't read this book in 30 some odd years, but Death shows up with his own motorcycle. It's more like a kind of a...
You gave us that to read.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we read that one day.
Did we? I don't remember that. So yes.
Yeah, you brought it to us. I think we read it at Max's house.
Okay, so Death shows up, and he's kind of got this sort of like German-style bike, and
he basically... they're going to race each other?
Yeah, they're going to race each other, and I think they race on the moon, too, don't they?
I just remember them like in the mountains and shit.
Yeah, and so they're going to do 3 races, and there's going to be 3 prizes, and I remember at one point there's a little girl imperiled in the middle of the night in this desert environment, but it's just cool seeing, you know, Ghost Rider versus Death itself riding a race. That's the kind of shit that Ghost Rider should have been doing all the time, but that was like a cool one-off.
I don't remember any of this shit. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Notable writers on the book?
No, there's a bunch of different writers. Tony Isabella had an interesting run where basically they introduced Jesus Christ as a supporting character in the series.
And what?
So Jesus H. Christ himself shows up and helps save Ghost Rider at various points from Satan because Roxy's no longer enough to ward him off. And then what happens...
I just have to ask, at any time did Ghost Rider have like a sidecar and Jesus was rolling in it?
Jesus in my sidecar. That would have been boss. So actually...
I pray to God that was a scene and that'd be awesome.
Well, dude, and he turns like his finishing move, he turns water into wine and like spits it into the skull fire to make like this huge inferno. Right. So he's like breathing fire. Oh, Trademark, Marvel Superheroes Podcast. Right.
So what Tony Isabella does, he's building up the story arc over a course of about 2 years, but it's only about 12 issues, where his intention is for Johnny to eventually take the hand of Jesus, finds redemption through Jesus, so that Satan no longer has power over him. And Jim Shooter was involved with the editorial process, and he was so offended by that whole story arc that right before it goes to press, he stops the presses, rips up the book that they'd produced, and does a new story where it turns out that the guy who everybody thought was Jesus was actually another devil in disguise trying to mislead Ghost Rider. And Tony Isabella quit the book immediately, and he said that in his entire career, one of the top three most arrogant acts of an editor that he's ever seen in his career.
Jeez.
Which is the kind of shit you hear about Jim Shooter. So every time we defend Jim, then you hear a story like that and you're like, fuck, Jim Shooter, dude.
Yeah, I agree. That's just totally what you would expect from Jim Shooter, which unfortunately sounds like we lost a good story out of that. But
I don't know. I'm still not a huge fan of Jesus as a supporting character in Ghost Rider.
How about this? How about fuck you? I want to see Jesus and Ghost Rider freaking side by side.
Another thing that's weird, though, for a period of time, Wendy and Richard Pini of ElfQuest were supporting characters in the book as well.
I know what that means.
Do you know the comic ElfQuest?
Yeah.
Yeah. The guys who created that book were supporting characters. I think it was Tony Isabella actually wrote them into the series.
Holy shit. So they just called him the friend? They didn't call him Jesus Christ?
He looked like Jesus. He acted like Jesus. And at one point, they do show him crucified in, you know, the classic, you know, with the robes or whatever he wears on the cross. But they never actually explicitly say that he's Jesus. But it's really, really obvious he's Jesus.
This is
what
amazing.
Book is it?
What's that?
What book was it?
Ghost Rider.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is a side question. Has Jesus ever been introduced to any other comic book universes?
Yeah, he's popped up in a number of times. I remember there was that one Rob Liefeld comic where I think Jesus and Zeus got into a throwdown.
And it's a Marvel book or a DC book?
I think it was Awesome Entertainment or one of the...
No, those don't count. I'm saying the big two. Has any of them ever introduced Jesus?
They've had a lot of messianic figures and Jesus analogs. I'm having trouble recalling a specific instance, especially one that's any more overt than this one. I think that this is like the biggest moment in Jesus comic history for mainstream DC Marvel type books.
Yeah, because like I know the independent books will do something like that, but I was wondering if one of the big two had gone, you know, taken it to that level.
It would have to have been in the 70s. They just like this kind of shit only happened in the 70s.
Because I remember you told me, wasn't there a Swamp Thing story that Rick Veitch was writing where Swamp Thing was traveling through time?
Yeah, and he was growing out of the crucifix itself. He was growing out of the wood of the crucifix, and DC ended up deciding not to publish that story, and it ended his run on the book.
Yeah, I remember you told me that. That was a really interesting story.
Oh, apparently Jesus appeared in Thor number 293. And I'm not fucking joking with you. Please stop laughing when I'm trying to be serious.
Could he lift the hammer?
I don't know if he... Oh, my God. That is an amazing question that I don't even know how to answer right now. But I'm going to go to Marvel Unlimited and see if I can find Thor, number 293. Thor.
I'm just remembering that line from Martial Law where he's basically saying, if that guy's the Messiah, I want to be the one who pounds the nails. And you've got Jesus and Thor and a hammer. I'm just having trouble not having that visual.
I don't remember that line from Martial Law. I need to read that.
Yeah, Martial Law's awesome.
What should I say? 293? Scrolling. This is riveting podcast stuff right here. Scrolling. Wouldn't it be crazy if it's absent from the library? No, it's right here. Read now.
Downloading.
So this is Roy Thomas wrote, Keith Holland, Chick Stone. I'm looking for Jesus. That's all I'm doing.
Looking for Jesus and Marvel Unlimited. All right.
Looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. See, Donald Blake. Still don't see Jesus. Oh, there's a baby, but that... No, it can't be Jesus.
Sweet baby Jesus.
That's gotta be Loki. Unless they're trying to say Loki is... No, they can't be doing that. Man, I don't see Jesus. Is that Jesus? I think that's not Jesus. If Jesus is in here, he's super... Oh, there he is. Oh, my God.
Literally?
Literally. At the last fucking... The last panel shows Thor... It shows Thor, and it what's the floating eyeball? Is that I don't know which weird god that is.
Yeah, I'm so crossing streams. I'm picturing the Emerald Eye, so I'm in the wrong universe.
What do you see there? That another Asgard is flaming for? Very good. Now gaze down at the earth below, so far below, yet in another place as well. A single scene shall suffice. I trust more than any other to reveal to you the time, the era of the events just witnessed. There, son of Odin. Now do you know in that earlier other Ragnarok Rock occurred, and it's a picture of Jesus in the manger with freaking all, like, it's the what do you call it, the manger scene, you know what I'm talking about, nativity scene. Jesus. I just took the Lord's name in vain while I was talking about the Lord. Then he says, nearly to the correct. Yeah, yeah. That's really bizarre that they end with it just showing the nativity scene. So I guess that is Jesus's in baby form. Way to go, Jesus. I don't know who this eyeball is, and I'm not going to figure it out today. That's cool. Anyway, I just searched Jesus Marvel, and it gave me an issue that his first appearance was in Thor, number 293, March 1980. But then it also showed there's a Marvel Easter special with Jesus on the cover.
Yeah, I think they did that in the early 90s. That's vaguely familiar to me.
Yeah.
Because they had that whole thing they did, the religious comics for a while. They did Mother Teresa, one on Pope John Paul II.
Yeah, it says Life of Christ, The Easter Story, Volume 1. I wonder if it had a special refractive cover.
I would love it if it got canceled.
For like really poor numbers, it probably did. I mean, something tells me you gotta keep publishing that.
The Messiah isn't helping our bottom line. Throw it in with Street Poet Ray.
None of this can make it because it's extremely offensive.
You say so.
Three appearances of Jesus of Nazareth. Okay. The Easter special, another one called The Life of Christ, and in that one Thor issue. Weird. So Jesus has been in the comic, sort of. I mean, it makes me so mad that Ghost Rider thing didn't go then, because that seems so freaking weird. Ghost Rider Volume 2, number 9. Ghost Rider Volume 2, number 19. Marvel 2-in-1, number 8. What? That must be the friend, whatever, and all his. Anyway, sorry, I'm just rambling now. Are we done? What do you guys want to talk about?
I think we were done like 5-10 minutes ago.
We received Facebook likes from Grant Richter, Ryan Daly, and Ali Batts, a new Google Plus follow from The Hammer Strikes, WordPress blog follows from Buddy2Blogger, WordPress blog like from Glennett Monsura. New Twitter follows came from Brent McCluskey, Cammy Pham, Casey McCollum, Christian Vind, Delon Baumgarten, Dave Asprey, DC Comics Talk, Dean Weathers, Drim at DrimTGI, Epic Film Guys, Gazette Man, Geek Yogurt Podcast, Leonard Kim, Matt Dusk, Mike McLarty, Troy Spinner, Toonmoji Help, Written Sins, and Zaki Hassan, and Paquita Trotamundos, who's been a guest here a few times, and who somehow I managed to miss. If you've ever followed the podcast and haven't given you a shout-out, let me know. Sometimes these things slip through the cracks. Received Follow Fridays and variations thereof from Adam Blackmoon, who listed us among his Wednesday Warriors and Saturday Squad, Diego M. Serrero, the Film and Water Podcast, Son of Cthulhu, who asked what's up, Can't Get Over the Goodness at Rolled Spined, at Relatively Geeky, and at Coffee and Comics blog. More words from Superman, Captain Marvel, Treasury Comics, Unearthly Visions, who listed us among his Phazon Visionaries, and Warlord Worlds. We got the retweets from Comic Reflections, Epic Film Guys, Firestorm Fan, The Hammer Strikes, It's Plastic Man, King Size Comics, Giant Size Fun Podcast, Professor Alan Middleton, Randy Caldwell, and Raven M. Fields, plus Twitter favorites from Andrew in Belfast, Cinemystique, Delon Baumgarten, David Fior, David Galaire, David Golding, David Taylor 2, these are the Daves I know, these are the Daves I know, Glenn Walker, Horror by Proxy, Jake and Tom Conquer Podcast, Julia Clavian, Carl Disley, Moviesaurus Rex, Nethead, Oscar Blue Devil, The Park Fanatic Podcast, Rabbit Stew Comics, Ryan Daly, Sean McLaughlin, and Steve Lieber. That guy drew a bunch of Hawkman comics I read, which featured continuity from Aquaman comics I read. They're by the guy before him. And finally, the Merry Marvel Marching Society, the 108 Sage, Ange, Bone Dragon Comics, Cash Flag aka Al, Chris Sheehan, Coffee and Comics Blog, Comics Social Club, Darren and Ruth Sutherland, Dr. G Nerdologist, Eric Mannix, FKA Jason, Goldmind Productions, Good Times Great Movies Cast, Keith G. Baker, Kevin Dodgy, Martin Gray, who noted his Greer Bliss on the Tiger episode, Mikey Flash, Monsters and Mystics, Pam Bahia, Pietro Blaximoff, Poop Culture Podcast, Odell Abner Dracula, Richard Field, Ryan vs. Frankenstein at Positively Nerdy, the Silver and Gold Podcast, Son of Cthulhu, just said love, Superman Captain Marvel, Senate Alias Scarecrow, Trucker Talk Podcast, Oof Dud Fryhole Yeah, Unearthly Visions, Warlord Worlds, and the Xenozoic Xenophiles Podcast.
The Marvel Superheroes Podcast is in no way affiliated with or endorsed by Marvel Entertainment. All characters mentioned and audio clips employed are believed covered under fair use, with no infringement intended against their copyright holders. Views expressed in this podcast are assumed legitimate, truthful, and solely possessed by the speaker.
Novocaine for the soul.